Today is the third Sunday after Trinity Sunday, and the gospel appointed for today is from St. Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. Last Sunday we heard in the gospel lection of the earnest desire that many would come to the great supper. As you remember, the Master invited many to come to the supper, but those who were invited began to offer excuses why they could not come. And Jesus declared, "So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." At the beginning of today's gospel, we return to the theme of those who were invited to the supper. For we read, "Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" Those who were too busy with the things of this world, and imagined they were too busy for the great supper, complained that there were those who were heeding the invitation. The Pharisees, who did not want to heed the words of Jesus, complained that there were those who heeded Jesus' invitation, that is, they received his gospel. And so again the Lord proclaims to them a clear word concerning the eagerness of the Lord that men would hear and believe his invitation. Last Sunday we heard the earnestness of the Master's invitation, for we read, "Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper." Those who would not heed the invitation will be eternally lost, but the Lord earnestly offers salvation to all who hear his word and heed the invitation. The Pharisees would not come to the feast, but tax collectors and sinners were being drawn to repentance, and this caused the angels to rejoice. And dear friends, so it is in heaven today. There is rejoicing in heaven over those who repent and believe in Jesus as their Savior. In Matthew 23, Jesus declared, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And again Jesus declared in Luke chapter 11, "Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in you hindered." Having neglected their responsibility, as those who were to continue the ministry of Moses, the Pharisees taught salvation by their own works, and elevated their own law over God's law. Thus they could not enter into salvation themselves, for no man born in sin will enter the kingdom of heaven based on his own righteousness. But furthermore, they blocked others from eternal life through their false teaching. This is the reason why they complained against Jesus, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now, Jesus spoke more clearly concerning the danger of sin than the Pharisees ever did. The Pharisees wanted people to imagine that Jesus was indifferent to impenitent sin, but nothing could be further from the truth. Consider our Lord's words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Again, Jesus said, For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Ah, there's the rub. Those who imagined themselves to have earned their own righteousness were told by God incarnate, that is, God in flesh, that their works were not enough. Rather than, like the tax collectors and sinners, acknowledging their sin, confessing it, and desiring God's forgiveness in the Christ, they hardened themselves in their own impenitence, and so pressed their false doctrine that those who believed the Pharisaical teaching were lost, and those who denied the Pharisaical teaching were persecuted. Thus the Lord declared to the Pharisees, Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore indeed I send you prophets, wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues, and persecute from city to city. That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Thus we see in our Lord's words that he predicted in advance the horrible persecution which would come upon the church, beginning with that persecution worked by the Pharisees. The Lord desires that all would repent and be saved, but there are those who not only reject the truth, but also persecute those who believe the gospel. Wrathful against those sinners who repent and follow the Christ, they persecute Christians because they desire to destroy the Christian doctrine. This is the meaning of the epistle lection for today, where we read, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now I ask you, when St. Peter warned the church against the vicious ways of the devil, who brought suffering upon the church, how did such suffering come? Did the devil come against them directly or through those who serve him? I submit that the devil works through those who are his, to persecute those who are of the body of Christ. Do you think that Jesus was joking when he declared to the Jews who rejected his doctrine, saying as follows, You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do? He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Now these Jews certainly did not imagine themselves to be in such service to the devil. But by their false doctrine and their persecution of the faithful remnant, first in the Old Testament and then in the New, they gave testimony to their spiritual parentage. All men are born in spiritual bondage, enslaved in the realm of the devil. While men remain in bondage to sin, they ultimately serve the evil one. Only if Christ sets a man free does he leave the devil's bondage. The devil afflicts the church and desires to cast all of the human race into eternal condemnation in the fires of hell. No matter how vicious the persecution grows in this world, and the church has faced horrific, demonic persecution throughout history in many cultures and nations, all such persecution is as nothing compared to what the devil desires to inflict upon you. He is the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. When you forget this, you are in the greatest danger. Even when at the alert, St. Peter's words tell us that there will be sufferings for a time. But he admonishes us, writing as the Holy Spirit inspired him, Resist him, Peter writes, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. In the midst of such anxiety, and facing the wrath of the evil one who ever seeks to persecute the faithful remnant, these words of Peter speak comfort to us, for they assure us that the same Holy Trinity who called us into Christ's kingdom will also perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. We have this assurance in Christ, who presents us with the comforting words of today's gospel. He is the one who seeks out the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. Every sinner called to repentance is a victory for the kingdom of heaven, for the Lord of the church declares, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." There is rejoicing in heaven over those who repent and believe in Jesus as their Savior. The Pharisees, imagining themselves to be righteous on their own merits, were lost. What joy could there be over 99 who imagine they don't need the forgiveness of sins? This, I believe, is the right understanding of the passage. God's word tells us, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God." I believe that Jesus is comparing the masses who will not repent, imagining they aren't so bad, or have enough righteousness for themselves, to that 1 in 100, or that 1 in 10, or that 1 in 2, to think of the prodigal son, who repents, believing in Christ as his Savior. The salvation of which we repentant sinners partake was established by Christ Jesus himself, who paid for our redemption through his suffering and death for us. He has defeated the roaring lion, he has delivered us out of the devil's bondage, and brought us into Christ's everlasting kingdom. Jesus' resurrection from the dead declared before all the world that the devil was defeated and that Jesus has won the victory. Now truly that one who gathers his sheep is the one who redeemed them with his own body and blood, his own suffering, his own death, that in his resurrection they would be made partakers of everlasting life. Think of how the angels rejoiced in heaven at your baptism, if indeed you have been baptized. As a child who was born in sin, had that sin washed away through water and the Word. How the angels rejoiced! When we come to holy absolution, truly repenting of our sins, and we hear the words of absolution, as God's called servant forgives in the stead of Christ, how the angels rejoice over those who repent and are forgiven. As the church gathers around God's altar and partakes of the body and blood of Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins, how the angels rejoice. We hear in the words of the Old Testament lection from Micah chapter 7, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage?" Apart from the Holy Trinity, there is none other. He is the only true God, for the gods of the nations are idols, and the idolatries of men all teach salvation through the works of men. Only in the one true faith do we hear the precious gospel of our sins forgiven through the work of God in flesh. For it is as we read in Micah chapter 7, "He will again have compassion on us, and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea." So it is, for our sins are washed away in the cleansing flood of holy baptism. God has won the victory, and believing in Christ our Redeemer, we are made partakers in that victory. Amen. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all that trust in thee, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us thy mercy, that thou, being our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal, that we finally lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The people of Salem Lutheran Church invite you to visit them today for the 10:30 a.m. worship service. Sunday school is available for all ages at 9:30 a.m. Salem is located approximately 3 miles north of Malone, off of FM 308. For more information on Salem Lutheran Church or this broadcast, you may call the congregation at 533-2330 or visit us on the internet at www.salemlutheranchurch.net. This broadcast is made possible through the generous support the Salem Lutheran Men's Fellowship, and the Salem Lutheran Women's Guild.